Well, we're certainly thankful to see all of you this morning, and pray the Lord to bless our time together, and appreciate the song service, and trust and pray everybody had an enjoyable time during the holiday season thus far, and pray that He'll bless as we celebrate the turning of the page from 2019 to 2020. 2020, if you like to set goals for the year 2020, you can have a lot of fun. You know, 2020 will be a good year to have 2020 vision. Not only 2020 this kind of vision, but 2020 spiritual vision, amen, financial vision, etc. I'm sure that the pundits will have a lot of fun in 2020, don't you think? This pundit's already having fun. I'd like to talk this morning to you about the reason for the season. In the book of Matthew, you know, and I'm sure that you've heard it a number of times in the past few days, the words of the angel to Joseph: "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This is the foundation, this is the crux of our salvation. We all recognize, and at least we ought to, and understand, at least we ought to, that we are in a position that we need a salvation. In the past in the time, I'll put it this way, in the time that we moved from Nebraska back home to Alabama, and of course moving into our quaint little home, we've been blessed by you all, different ones of you in particular, in lending aid, in helping us getting our a home in condition, you know, doing the things that Sister Lane and I would like to do and to it and so forth. And, you know, all that helps, greatly appreciated. I must say, you know, that my nature is, and I hear so many say the same thing, you know, if I can do it myself, that's generally the way that I, you know, want to do it. You know, if I can change a toilet seat, or if I can fix, you know, whatever needs to be fixing, if I can spruce up the cabinets, if I can shore up the foundation, you know, if I can change a light fixture or whatever, if I can do that, you know, I like to do that. You know, I like the challenge of being able to do those kind of things. In fact, believe it or not, you know, one of mine and Sister Lane's favorite type of shows to watch, you know, with the technology and the things that we can watch on the internet, is the how-to shows, you know, how to repair this, how to repair that, and so forth. Now, Sister Lane's a big fan of Matlock. You remember Matlock, don't you? And I think it was the last series that, you know, that Andy Griffin did. Well, I like Matlock too, but I think I'd rather watch these how-to and repair shows than him. Of course, one of the reasons I like those kind of shows is I like to see, you know, put the clues together and figure things out, you know, and who done it. Well, you know, one of the things in all of that, you know, Brother Clayton, I believe he'll witness with me on that a lot of times when I find myself doing all kinds of things, and the next thing I know what I'm doing, I'm finding a way to use it as a key to unlock the scriptures. You know, you can do that. And in the process working on the house and all, I've thought about, here's this old house, and it needs a lot of work. I've heard different ones say, the best thing you could do, Brother Thomas, is just tear the thing down and start over. Well, that might be the best thing to do. But I'm not inclined to do that. I love that old house. And I'd like to see it in pretty good shape. But I want it to be that old house. I want the plumbing to work. I want the electricity to work. I want the doors to open and close like they ought to, etc. I want it to be cool when I want it to be cool, and I want it to be warm when I want it to be warm. Because I'm kind of fond of that old house. There's many reasons why I'm fond of that old house. Of course, there's a lot of memories there. But one of the reasons I'm the fondest of that old house is because Sister Lane and I were blessed to buy it and pay for it. So it belongs to us. We have the title to it. And so consequently, it's very important to us. In thinking about those things, I think about how our Father in heaven must have felt, and I understand does feel, about this old house. Do you follow me? He loved this old house enough, had the title to it, and so forth, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to save his people from their sins. And as I understand it, the primary object was this body of sin. Election teaches me that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit chose a people before the world began. They were his. He fixed, his choice was such that he said, when he made that choice, said, now they're mine and they always will be mine. Now that's a powerful statement. In fact, Jesus Christ says they're written in the palm of his hand and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Once God made that determination, those that he chose in Jesus Christ before the world began, they were his, and they were always, and they will always be his. Amen. That wasn't going to change. Satan couldn't change that. Sin couldn't change that. Okay? Now I understand, I know you understand, there's a lot involved in that. Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sins. The angel told Joseph, that's why you're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. As far as God was concerned, it's always been a done deal. It's always been a done deal. As soon as Adam transgressed God's law, God clothed Adam and Eve. And from the very first act that God did after, of the first acts that God did after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God showed them and he showed us how it is with him. That yes, you have disobeyed me. But instead of giving you what you deserve, I'm going to give you better than that. What did they deserve? God cast them out of the garden. That was very light compared to what they deserved, right? They deserved to be cast out of his presence and cast into hell right at that very moment in time. But God only cast them out of the garden and blessed them to live until the day they died. And the reason he did that, because the clothing that he, from the animal that he clothed them with, was symbolic of he that would come almost 4,000 years later to save his people from their sins, including Adam and Eve. You know, we're blessed. I believe we're blessed. All of God's children are blessed, of course, to be children of God. But we're blessed to live on the side of the cross, so to speak, that we can look back and understand those things. Yes, through an eye of faith. But we have evidence that supports our faith that those from Adam and Eve till the day of Jesus Christ didn't have. We have the evidence of the cross. We have the evidence of the teaching of the scriptures that Jesus Christ was born. We have the evidence of all the prophecies that were made in the Old Testament that they've been fulfilled and so forth. You and I live in a glorious age. To be able to look and see all that evidence, that it's not only there, but that it's been fulfilled. And so Jesus Christ came and did for you, and I trust for me, that which we could not do for ourselves. And by the way, Jesus Christ didn't just do a maintenance job. He didn't just do a repair job. He did a total makeover. But he didn't destroy the old house. You know, he came to save his people from their sins. And the Bible also teaches us that God gave him a body fashioned like unto my body. I think that's that Brother Clayton spoke in some recently from the book of Hebrews. And you know, I think that's the crux of the book of Hebrews, is Paul teaching the Israelites, you know, all those sacrifices that you've been making and that you're well acquainted with all these generations of time, basically, say a lot of things, but the main thing it says is that your Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit, you know, this is how they saved you. All those sacrifices pointed to the Son of God becoming a sacrifice, taking a body, and being the sacrifice for our sins, and shedding the blood that really counted. You know, the blood of goats and bullocks and so forth, you know, they accomplished what they were designed to accomplish. But they couldn't save God's people eternally from their sins. That took the blood of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, one thing, those Israelites were taught to do is whenever they offered offerings and sacrifices, is they went to their flock. Go to your flock and choose a lamb. Well, if you're too poor and you don't have a flock, you go and purchase a sacrifice. You remember a couple of incidents in the Bible whenever offerings and sacrifices were to be made. And I apologize, I'm trying to think of the example that's creeping into my mind, but I can't totally recall it. But anyhow, it was expected that when those offerings and sacrifices were made, that even though I might not own one, I went and purchased it. I didn't let you offer a lamb for me. I purchased a lamb. I purchased a sacrifice. I purchased a turtle dove. Whatever needed to be, so that whenever I offered it, it was mine to offer. I owned it. Well, you know, God did the same thing. He didn't borrow a son to pay for our sins. He didn't shed borrowed blood. No. He made him. And of course, after the blood was shed, the most important thing to prove that point, he said, as the spirit descended upon him at the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my beloved son, in whom I well pleased." "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And Jesus Christ, of course, did exactly that. Such a simple statement. So simple, in fact, that I've said a lot of times, one of the most important parts of that sentence is a part that a lot of times we overlook. You know what it is? It's a little dot at the end of the sentence. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Period. The angel didn't say if they'll do this, or if this condition is met, or he's going to try, but he's going to need some help. No, he shall save his people from their sins. Period. That's the best part to me. You know, I need help in a lot of things. I'll be calling on different ones that have offered help, you know, as we continue to work and labor on our home. Because there's some of the things that I don't know how to do. I'm just going to have to ask somebody else to do it. I'll help them as much as I can. I'll be calling on different ones as I have for their expertise, etc. Well, when it comes to those kinds of things, I'm thankful for the help. Well, when it comes to things that are greater than that, when it comes to this house, when it comes to this building, when it comes to my life, here in time and certainly for eternity, I need some help. You know, I learned a long time ago, even as a child, that if I ever had hope of living with God in heaven, it wasn't going to be by anything that I could do, that I could grow up to do. You know, I loved, and my parents, they did a lot for me in my life, but I understood as a child that if heaven was going to be my home, it wasn't going to be because of anything that they could do or were doing for me. I love my wife. She does a lot for me. In fact, when she goes off on a trip, and is gone for several days, and I have to fend for myself, I know how much I depend on her. And I'm okay with that. That suits me fine. But at the end of the day, I realize how much help I need. And especially when it comes to being able to live with God in eternity. I need that. Because he's done it all. And I'm thankful that he's done it all. It's like the song we sing. You know, all to him I owe because of all that he's done. May the Lord add his blessings is my prayer.